big and they don't know what they're going to do. Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, that you have already taken up their case. And God, all that's left to do is just to praise you right now for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am going to minister tonight on something that has really been on my heart, and that is coming into agreement with what God has for us, what He says is for us. And what I've learned is that it's hard to be in agreement with anybody or anything. You don't see a lot of agreeing going on in the world today, and many believers struggle to come in agreement with God. And so I am going to minister on that tonight. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 10. And you know, something that was on my heart as I walked up to the pulpit tonight was I've learned to give honor and respect to where it's due. And I just want to stand up here and just publicly say that I'm so thankful for my mom and for my dad. I'm going to tell you, I have been through a lot of things, but it has been my childhood and my upbringing that has made me the person that I am today. And I want to encourage everybody that is raising kids in today's world. It's not easy, but I can tell you that if you will raise them up in the way that they should go when they are older, they will not depart from it. Now, the Word will never tell you that they won't think about departing, because they probably will think about it. They probably will dip their toes into something. Now, they don't have to, but let me tell you, there is a promise for every parent that will raise their children up in God's house. And it's not an easy thing to do, because the world is going to try to tell you that they need to be here, or that they need to be there, or that you need to do this, or that you need to do that. And so it becomes very confusing to raise children in today's world. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's the hardest thing that I've ever done. But I am so thankful for my parents, and I'm thankful that of all the things that they gave me, they gave me the ability to love somebody that's never going to let me down. And they taught me what it was like to love God and to put Him first. So I challenge everybody that's raising kids and you have your days where you think, well, I'm not doing a very good job. I just challenge you. Give them to God and raise them in His house, and the rest is up to Him. Hebrews chapter 10. Preaching a message this evening, we need to come into agreement with what God has. We need to come into agreement with what God says over our lives. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. See, there was no other way. If there was another way, God would not have had to send His Son, but there was no other way. And so I love here these Christmas decorations, and specifically this peace one. It says, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given." You know, somebody had to give up their son. And it says here in His Word, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place." How did we enter that holy place? By the blood of Jesus. See, the blood of Jesus will wash over everything that's going on in your life that's hurting you, everything that's going on that you're ashamed of, everything that's going on that you don't know how you're going to make it. See, the blood of Jesus washes over all of the stuff in life that we go through. And it says, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body. That is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. How do we draw near to God? In a sincere way. In a sincere way. So many times people wonder, what is God really looking for? God is looking for you. The real you. And He's looking for that sincerity and that honesty and that genuineness that says, you know what, God, I don't have it all together. I'm not going to play you. I'm not going to act like I do. But God, you can have every part of this messed up person that I really am. And we're all messed up. That's what I can tell you in being in the people business for my entire life, is everybody is very messed up. And the people that you think have it together the most, many times, they're the most messed up ones. So it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. In full assurance of faith. God wants you on your worst day to know that he's going to do exactly what he told you he was going to do. And there's so many times where the believer, on their bad days, they're sitting there wondering if there's even a God. You know, so many times people say, well, I don't even know if there's a God, because if there is, why did he let this happen? Let me tell you something. The word tells us that there will be trials and tribulation. And then it gives us a command. It says, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And so God wants us to come to him with a sincere heart, and he wants us to come to him in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. It is hard to come into agreement with God when you have a guilty conscience. It is hard to come into agreement with God and what he says about you when you have a guilty conscience. There are God-fearing, God-loving Christians, and they have a big fat wedge in between them and God because they cannot get over what they did. I'm going to say that again. There are God-loving and God-fearing people, and there is a big fat wedge in between them and God because they simply cannot get over what they did. And that will hinder you in coming in agreement with what God has for you. The devil will try to talk you into feeling like you're the worst person on earth because of what you did. And God is still knocking at that part of your life. See, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the word of God says, now behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And that door is not just the door of salvation, but that is the door to every place in your soul that's messed up. God will stand at that door of every part of you that's broken. He will stand at that door that every part of you is messed up. And he'll knock in those places of your life and he'll say, can I come in? And see, God is looking for the person that says, God, I'm going to give you my guilty conscience. It's hard to get over some of the stuff that we've done. You ever done something so bad and you think, God, I cannot get over what I did? It's hard to get over some of the stuff that we've done. It's not easy. But see, God says, if you want to come into full agreement with who I am and what I say over your life, you're going to have to give up the guilty conscience, because the devil will keep you defeated just by one simple thing. It's just by having you rethink about what you did. And he doesn't really have to do much more than that, because he will keep you stuck in that place of what went wrong and how it was your fault. And the word says to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And this wasn't even a part of my message, but we're going to go there. I'm going to speak to that person tonight, and you say, it doesn't matter what I do, there's that guilt there, and it's there when I wake up, and it's there when I go to sleep, and I just can't get over what I did. One of the ways that you can come into agreement with God is you begin to pray the word over your life. The word of God says that the word is living and the word is active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And what happens is when we put the word in our life, that word, because it's living and because it's active, it goes to that part of your life that's messed up. It takes life inside of the part of you that's broken. See, when we feel that guiltiness coming over us of something that God's already forgiven us for, and that guilt is still there, you need to begin to pray the word over that guilty conscience. And you do that by saying, God, in the name of Jesus, you said in your word that you would cleanse this guilty conscience that I have. And so, God, I repent of what I did. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak your word over this conscience right now. And I tell the guilt to go. See, the devil will keep you in what you did. And God is trying to snatch you up out of that so you can live for what he created you to do. You can't live out your calling and feel guilty all in the same time. It will hinder you and it will keep you back. And I'm going to read further. It says, and cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly. Now, how many of you, you've ever taught a kid how to drive? Paul and Jill are like, we got Carson and Colton a little motorized vehicle for out there in the country. And there are certain things that you will not understand until you are in that place in your parenthood. You can't understand them because you just haven't experienced them. And I got in there with Carson, and he was driving me around, and I started sweating, and my heart started pounding, and I'm not going to lie, I said a bad word. I said, Carson, I felt like it was just coming out of my shirt. You are scaring the heck out of me, and I didn't say heck. And then I thought, immediately, I went to back when I was a kid in the bottoms with Dad trying to learn how to drive a standard truck over and over and over. Could not get out of first gear. It kept, there's a knack to getting that thing from out of first gear and going. And if you ain't got the knack, that thing's going to kill out on you every time. And so, one of the things that I think every kid does when they start driving is they have a tendency to swerve. And I told Carson, we were driving down the little dirt road, and it was scaring me so bad. And I just grabbed the wheel, and I said, stop swerving. Just keep it steady. Keep it steady. Now, the verse that we're reading, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. One of the things that will mess you up when you're trying to come into agreement with the Lord on what he has for you, what he has said about your life, is when you're constantly swerving. You've got to know on your worst day that God is exactly who he said that he is, that he will do exactly what he said he will do, that he is going to be exactly who he says that he is to you. You have to know that. And see, the word is challenging us here. It says, hold on to the hope and don't be swerving. For he who promised is faithful. Now, we are going to look at that verse, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. We're going to read it in a different translation, in the CEV version. And I'm going to get up here. And it says, we must hold tightly to the hope that we say is ours. Now, the problem that most believers have is they have trouble getting in agreement with God, because when it's good, they don't have any trouble. It's when life is hard and maybe they're having a hard time with some of the outcome of some decisions that have been made. And see, we say a lot of things, but we don't do most of the time what we say. Now, I'm going to preach where we live, which is reality. A lot of people, you get them in a church setting and get them around other people, and they'll say the right thing, but that's as far as it goes. Well, life's not going good right now, but God's exactly who He says He is, and it's going to turn around. Then they go home and they stay down in the dumps. Well, it really isn't. It's just, it sucks. Life just sucks, and it's just going to stay this way. It's never going to change. And see, we feed ourselves all this stuff, but see, the Word says that you're going to have to hold on, and you're going to have to hold on in a certain type of way, and the certain type of way is tightly. We must hold tightly to the hope that we say is ours. If you're going to claim Jesus, then that means that you're going to have to do that on your worst day. And the breakdown is when we cannot come in line and come into agreement with what God says. And some of the reason why we can't do that is we're too busy looking around when we should just be looking up. We're too busy looking around at why we think God can't do what He said. God's going to do what He said. There is no doubt about it. He'll do exactly what He said. But you're going to have to hold on, and you're going to have to hold on tight. You need to let your yes be yes and your no be no. There have been times where I've said, God, You said that this was what You were going to do, and I don't know how You're going to do it, but God, I'm going to thank You for it right now. Lord, I don't know how You're going to make this come about, but God, I don't have to know how. There's just certain things. I've told Frank here lately, God has told me to ask Him for this. In the natural realm, this seems impossible, but I'm going to stand with what God asked me to ask Him. The Word says that you have not because you ask not. Many times you're afraid to even ask because you know that you don't even believe what you're about to ask God for. See, if God told you to ask for it, He wants you to ask for it. So it says we must hold tightly to the hope that we say is ours. See, what are you saying and what are you living, and are they two different things? What are you saying and what are you living? It's hard to do what you say. The hardest thing that I have to do is live what I preach, and it ain't easy. After all, we can trust the One who made the agreement with us. We can trust the One who made the agreement with us. If you will make the decision to come in line and to come in agreement with what God has, you'll see things happen that you never thought could happen simply because you're committed to coming into agreement with what God says. I was talking to Dad the other day, I believe Friday morning, and I said, you know, Dad, the food ministry is the one thing. And this isn't good. I said, the food ministry is the one thing in my life that I 100% gave to God. And it's not by accident that it is the one thing in my life that is 100% blessed. I should have more things that I have 100% given to God. Because that would mean that I have 100% come into agreement with Him. It's hard to come into agreement with God, but it is something that you have to do. Because if you don't, it's holding you back. And so it says, let us hold tightly to the hope that we say is ours, and after all, we can trust the One who made the agreement with us. God is challenging people all over. This I believe this message is going to be on Facebook Live, and you know what? God is challenging you to come into agreement with what He has said over your life. He has challenged you to come into agreement with what His Word says. Go with me now to Job chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 21 through 32. It's actually Job chapter 22, sorry, verses 21 through 22. That's a tongue twister. Job chapter 22, we're going to start at verse 1, or verse 21. Come into agreement with the Lord. It says, submit to God and be at peace with Him. Submit to God and be at peace with Him. And I'm going to stop right there. A lot of believers have trouble being at peace with God. And we struggle with being at peace with Him because we're always trying to tell Him how to do His job. We're always trying to tell Him why we can't do what He told us to do. There's times where God says, this is what I have for you. Oh, I could never have that because of this, this, and this, and this. The word, God's not asking you what you think. Because see, His ways are higher and His thoughts are higher. But what He is asking is submit to God and to be at peace with Him. Many times we have trouble coming into agreement with God, and it's because there's not a peace there with God. When's the last time you just said, God, I'm good with what you decide to do with me? God, I'm cool with what you decide to do with me. God, you have your way in my life. Submit to God and be at peace with Him. And here's a promise in the second part of this verse. In this way, prosperity will come to you. How do we come into agreement with God? Submit to Him. Submit to Him. Stop fighting that current of the flow of what God's trying to do in your life. And I want to just tell you very humbly, what God has for your life, if you even began to try to wrap your mind around it, you couldn't. It's that supernatural for you. Submit to God and be at peace with Him. How do we come into agreement with Him? Submit to Him. On the cross, Jesus said, your will be done. When He said, Lord, God, make this cup pass from me. He prayed that three times. What does that mean? I don't want to do this. Don't blame Him. I wouldn't want to die for a bunch of ungrateful heathens either. But He did. Your will be done. I was telling Dad the other day, we were talking about my boys. And I don't know, y'all mamas that have boys, there's just something about boys. And from the moment that I had Carson, there was just something in me that just totally changed. And when I had him, Dad gave me a very good piece of advice. He said, Kelly, you need to ask God to help you to mold this kid into exactly what He wants. I want my boys to be exactly where God wants them to be. If that's a million miles away from me and they're in God's will, so be it. If they're right here in 30, 40 years or 20 years or whatever God sees fit and they're carrying on our legacy, praise God. But I want them to be where God wants them to be, and I want them to come into agreement with what God has for them. Now, you being natural moms, natural dads, how much more does God want for us? God wants us to come into agreement with every promise that He has for us. And the Word is full of them. Verse 22, we're talking tonight. How do we come into agreement with the Lord? Accept instruction from His mouth. Here's the thing that I can tell you about God, and you can see it all in His Word. You can look back in your past. Here's what we know about God. God will tell you what to do, and then He will tell you how to do it. You see that with Noah. You see that with Moses. You see it with every person that was in the Word of God. You see that. How do you come into agreement with God? Accept instruction from His mouth and lay up His words in your heart. Lay up those words in your heart. What does that mean? That's a challenge, and the challenge is to get into the Word and begin to store the words of God in your heart. Amen. Store them up. Lay them up in there. You'll have a hard time sinning when you got the Word just packed up in there full. You'll have a hard time making those wrong decisions when the Word is there and it's lighting your path, like Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him. You know what? You're going to have a hard time ignoring God when you're acknowledging Him because you've put that in your life. How do you come into agreement with Him? Submit to Him. Accept instruction from His mouth and lay up His words in your heart. A big factor of why people can't come into agreement with what God says is because we're too busy worrying about what He said. God will tell us something, and then we'll worry about it like it's our job to do what He said. Whatever God orders, God will pay for it. That's what I know about God. That's what I know about God. Now, people don't like people to talk about money in church, but I don't really care what people think about that. Because money makes the world go round. And it's a good thing that we serve the Lord that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And everything is His. I was coming home from Branson several years ago. And God spoke to my heart, and He said, Kelly, you're going to have a place, and I want you to call it the Manna Center. Well, I thought, well, how the heck is that going to happen? Do what? Well, sure enough, right in the middle of a pandemic, that's when He decided to start on that one. Now I'm going to take this a step further. And if you get offended, you're going to have to get over it. Jill, at that same time, I'm going to keep this real. I'm going to roll up my sleeves like Garrett Lewis. One of the things that God's always done in my life, and it's been a constant current, is any time that I have ever thought that I needed someone or something to do what God said he would do, he has removed that. Because what he has tried to teach me my whole life is the only thing that I really need is him. And when God told me that he wanted the manna center, at that very same time, there was very big givers. They did not go to church here. They are out of these states. And they stopped their giving to the church, pretty much. And instantly, I walked out here to the property, and my heart was very, very troubled. And I said, well, God, how are you going to work this out? And he said, Kelly, I stopped that giving because by the time that the manna center is done, I don't want any human being getting my glory for what I'm about to do. See, if you really want what God has for you, you're going to have to get rid of that stinking thinking that makes you think that you need this, that, or the other. Because really all that you need is God, and you need some obedience that says, God, I'm going to come in line with what you have for me. And God, you'll send the ravens to feed me if that's what I really need. Lord, you can send a stranger to put something in the offering if that's what's needed. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. There is not a man on the planet that is your source. There is not a doctor on the planet that has the final say-so over you. There is not a lawyer on the planet that gets to choose and decide some things, angel. Amen. There is a God that has the final say. And what he needs from you is to come into agreement with what he has said over your life. It don't matter what the judge says. It don't matter what the lawyer says. It really don't matter what the doctor says over you. It don't matter what man would say about you. What you need is you need one yes, and it's got to be from the Lord. That's what you need. And when God's saying, sometimes God ain't saying no, sometimes he's saying not yet. Not yet. There are some things that God's got for you, but if you had them right now, you'd mess them up. But there is a time and a season for everything. And if it's not time for it, what you got to do is you got to say, God, I submit to what your plan is. God, it may not be my plan. See, the problem with people is that they get brokenhearted because their plan didn't work. Most of what you're going to have to grieve over is what you thought your life was going to be. And go ahead and grieve over it. Go ahead and mourn it and get it over with, because what God really has is better than what you ever thought. But you got to get rid of the idea of what you thought you were going to have, because God's got something better. And he wants you to come in line with what he has. So it says, accept instruction from his mouth. If you don't have God telling you your next step, then you better be being still. That's one of the ways that you're going to come into agreement with him. What does he say? Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. When you don't have your next marching orders, guess what that means? It's time to slow your roll and just be still and sit there. See, when the word says when you've done everything that you can do, then you need to stand. And sometimes all you're going to be doing is standing while God's working some things out in the background. And then we're silly and we think, well, God's not doing nothing. No, God's doing everything right now. Everything. I've learned that when it don't look like God's doing anything, that that's the time where he's working the most. Enjoy your little downtime. Enjoy it. Because when you get what he has for you, it might make you a little busier. Just enjoy yourself if you're waiting. Go with me now to Romans chapter 4. I didn't realize I could get worked up on a Sunday night. Romans chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 17. And it says here, as it is written, I have made you, this is talking concerning Abraham, I have made you father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. One of the ways that you can come in agreement with God is once he has said that he is going to do something, you begin to call those things that are not as if they were. If God has you believing for, I don't care what it is, you better be calling that thing forth. If God has told you that he's going to work a miracle out of your life, I would begin to call that thing forth. Why? Because now faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You need to hear yourself say, what's coming your way. You need to hear yourself say, hey, miracle, you're coming right over here. Hey, answered prayer, you're coming right over here. The problem is when the devil gets you to believing that God's not going to do what he said. God's going to do exactly what he said. What does the word say? Though he tarry, wait for it. I can't stress to you enough, if you're waiting right now, God's telling you to just enjoy that waiting, because it's coming. It's coming. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Verse 18. This is going to, we're going to begin to read the character of Abraham. And I'm going to tell you, I would read this again this week. Against all hope. All natural hope. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations. Why did he become the father of many nations? Because he came into agreement with what God said he was going to do. It didn't matter that he was older than dirt. What mattered was that he believed that God was going to make him the father of many nations. He stopped trying to figure out how God was going to do that, and he finally just said, exactly how you said it's going to be, God. I'm going to go with that. If you want me to be the father of many nations in my old age, I'm good with that. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Let me tell you something. It don't matter what is dead in your life. When God speaks life to it, it is coming back. And you need to get into agreement with it. There are things that God wants to do. Y'all lower that music just a little bit, because I ain't done hollering. I got 10 more minutes and I'm going to use them, because I'm getting myself worked up. I am believing God to do some things that I really need him to do. And there ain't a person on the planet that can do the things that I need. I've got all my eggs in the basket that God's going to do what he said. I'm going to start at verse 18 again. If you've got your Bible, you need to be reading this, because see, your word have I hidden in my heart. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. Do y'all catch that? Exactly the way it was said to him. That's how it happened. So shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, what does it take to come into agreement with God? You cannot be wavering. What did the word say? Unswervingly hold. Hold it very tightly and don't be swerving with it. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief. How is one of the biggest ways that you can get yourself out of agreement wavering and having unbelief? The moment that you have your first thought of, oh, this can't happen, you need to take that thought captive and you need to begin to speak to that thought. Thought of doubt and unbelief. I take a hold of you right now and I tell you that you're not going to go any further. This is going to happen. It's going to happen because God said it's going to happen. I take that. I receive it. I believe it. I will not allow you, mine, to get out of line with what God said he's going to do. God said it, so we're going to come into agreement with it. You and all your personalities. That's what I have to tell myself. I got about 5 different personalities, and I never know who I'm going to get and who Frank's going to get. But you know what? I got to get all of us, and I tell all of us, we're going to get in line with what God said. Stop wanting God's best, and you ain't doing nothing about it. You want his best? You come into agreement with what he said. And if you don't know what he said, you need to start praying and interceding and seeking him, and you need to get in his word. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Verse 21, read it again. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. How do you come into agreement? You believe that God has the power to do what he said. When you feel yourself struggling, you need to begin to thank him for doing what he said. It looks like this. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for that answered prayer. Lord, I thank you that when I go to the doctor, Lord, I get your report. God, you said that you would heal me. Lord, I stand on the healing right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm going to this job interview. God, you said you'd help me. God, I trust in you. Look here, if you don't get the job, here's what you know. That one wasn't for you. Why? Because he has something better. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Verse 22, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. God gave Abraham a credit just for Abraham believing and receiving what God said. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us. Isn't that amazing that God would put something in his word for Abraham, but then he saw that he would also give it to us all this time later? To whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. I wrote myself a couple notes. How do we come into agreement with God? I read you a few verses. You need to read them over. I'm going to post those tonight on our Facebook page. Some more ways that you can come into agreement with God is our prayers need to be shaped from God's word. Our prayers need to be shaped from what God said in his word. What does that look like? God, I'm going through a hard time right now, but you promised in your word that you had victory for me. So Lord, right now, I don't care what it looks like because God, you've got victory in store for me. Lord, I'm not going to doubt you. God, I'm not going to get out of line with you. God, I'm going to stay in step with you. I'm going to become more in agreement with you, God, than I ever have before. And God, right now, I thank you for the victory. Lord, I'm not going to look to the left. God, I'm not going to look to the right. Lord, I'm not going to swerve this way or swerve that way. God, I thank you for what you're doing. I come into agreement with what you have for me. See things the way that God sees them. Many times we struggle with that because God sees you, and when he sees you, he's not looking at you like you're a failure. How many of you, when you look in the mirror, your instant reaction is to find something criticizing to say about yourself? A lot of times that's what we do. If you're a woman, most of us figure something out to say, well, we wish this would change. I was looking at myself the other day in a picture somebody screened, and I thought, you know, it would never matter how much weight I lost, I'm going to always have this double chin. And that was the first thing that I noticed. But then I thought, what I should have said was, I had a really good hair day. You got to come in line and in agreement with God. One of the main things that I wrote here, and I will close with this, how do we come into agreement with what God has for us? We stop living life with our five senses, what we can see, taste, hear, smell, and touch. We stop living with those senses. Some of the Bible verses, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, I am doing a new thing. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. I remember when we had three houses where the manna center sits, and I thought, how will we ever sell these? These are dumpy. And I was opening up the doors of the church one day, and God stopped me, and he said, Kelly, I want you to take a deep breath. And when I took that deep breath, he said, what do you smell? And I said, I don't know. And he said, that's a new smell. There's a new thing going to happen. And immediately, those houses began to sell. Stop living by your five senses and live off of the Word. Come into agreement with God. Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I pray right now that you give everyone everything that it takes, Lord, to live out this sermon. God, I thank you, Lord, that some of us, we've had trouble, God, coming into agreement. But Lord, I ask that you'd make us agreeable. Lord, I ask that you'd help us to do exactly what you would have us to do. Lord, and cause us to be a blessing this week. I speak favor right now over every person in Jesus' name. I speak provision. I speak health. I speak protection. I speak a hedge of protection over our families right now, over our finances and over our children right now in Jesus' name. Amen.